When we think of archaeology, we may think of remote explorations and digging in out-of-the-way deserts and jungles around the world.
But an ongoing project here in Wisconsin has made some surprising discoveries under people's lawns in Trempealeau. Danielle Benden is with the Trempealeau Archaeology Project. She's senior academic curator for the UW-Madison Department of Anthropology. Danielle, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what have you and your team found so far in Trempealeau?
Well, we have been up just for a couple of days. This is our first, or our second day of the 2014 summer season. We've been working in the area for the last, I've been working in the area for the last 15 years and more intensively in the last 4 years or so. And what we've uncovered is looks to be a colony of people that archaeologists call Mississippians who came up from the site of Cahokia, which is near St. Louis, Missouri, about 1,000 years ago. And settled right here in Wisconsin.
So that's quite a journey from the St. Louis area, Cahokia, to up near Trempealeau. How did they get there?
So we think they presumably came via dugout canoe up the Mississippi River. And I stress the word up the Mississippi River.
Right, because it's against the current.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that go down the Mississippi River. But there's not very many people who would make a 700 river mile journey up the river. Crossing several sets of rapids, and it's a really long journey. They really wanted to get to Trempealeau.
And do we know the why? I guess that's the big question when you look at a journey like that.
Yes, these are the kinds of questions we're asking. Why did they leave Cahokia? Why did they come to Trempealeau? It looks like they didn't really stop anywhere in between. Of course, they had to stop to camp, from time to time. But it doesn't look like they stopped and set up shop anywhere else in between. So what we have is, it looks almost like a moonshot. They leave Cahokia. We think that they knew that they were headed to Trempealeau, and the question is why. Well, we have been trying to answer those questions in the last few years working here, and we're continuing to do some excavation to uncover the answers. We think it has actually something to do with the geology of the area. So if your listeners or you have been to the Trempealeau area, it's very unique geologically. We're in the unglaciated driftless area of Wisconsin in the upper Mississippi River Valley, just along the Mississippi River. And Trempealeau is famous for Trempealeau Mountain, which is a spit of land that is completely surrounded by water. And actually, the word Trempealeau is a French word, and if you translate it loosely, it means Trempealeau Mountain is La Montagne qui Trempealeau, which is the mountain whose foot is bathed in water or surrounded completely by water. And that's unique because in the entire 2,400-mile stretch of the Mississippi River, it is the only place where you get a remnant bluff sitting surrounded completely by water. So undoubtedly, it was a landmark going back since the first people arrived in Wisconsin 12 or 13,000 years ago. And presumably, Mississippian people who came from Cahokia knew about it 1,000 years ago when they left Cahokia and came to set up a colony here in Trempealeau.
Oh, and so what have you found so far, and where are you digging?
A lot of, I was listening to the opening, and you're exactly right. When a lot of people think of archaeology sites, they think of faraway, distant places, and what we're literally digging in people's backyards because the modern village of Trempealeau is situated over a 1,000-year-old village set up by Cahokians. We have yet to draw a line around the extent of the site because every time we do work in somebody's yard and put a shovel in the ground, we're finding more and more things. So we find things like the remnants and sometimes almost complete parts of pottery vessels that these people make, and they make a very distinctive kind of pottery that is painted red with really beautiful decorations. We find their stone tools. We find their houses. So they build very distinctive houses that are different than the local people would have been building. They make these rectangular-shaped wall trench structures, are what they're called. So they're kind of semi-subterranean, which is great, keeps you warmer in the winter and cooler in the summer. And so, we're basically, what we see is it looks like they literally brought everything with them. There is clay in the hills around here to make pots. There's tool to make stone. Stone material to make stone tools. But they're not really using the local material. They're bringing everything with them. And so when you look at the literature of colonization and colonies, when Europeans come to the New World, what do? They bring everything with them because they want to make sure that they have the stuff that is part of their cultural, you know, heritage and their cultural, upbringing.
Well, it also sounds like they intended to stay for a while. How long were they there?
Well, you know, this is an interesting question. So far, they're here for a very short period of time. It looks to be just about 50 years or so, and then they're gone. And that's another question is why? Why did they come and set up shop here and then leave 50 years later? And we don't know the answer to that question yet, but we do know that we think that it's a pretty elite group of people who traveled up the river and settled here. And we know that because at Cahokia and nearby sites, when you find this kind, very distinctive kinds of pottery that we're finding in our excavations in Trempealeau, it's associated with really elite residences. So just like any big city, which, you know, Cahokia was a city. It was, you know, roughly 20,000 people living there about 1,000 years ago. You have various socioeconomic statuses within the group of people, right? So you have those that are wealthier than others and those that are a little bit poor. And you see in the poorer residences, not everybody has access to the nicer, it's sort of like fine china, right? So not everybody has access to the nicer kinds of things. And what we're finding up here in Trempealeau is pretty much almost all of this really the nicer made stuff that archaeologists call fineware. And so we think it's a small group of elites that are leaving Cahokia and coming up and setting up shop in Trempealeau. I think that it's a relatively small group of people, and we can kind of tell that judging by how many people would live in a house and based on the number of houses we found. Something also really important is that Mississippian people build flat rectangular mounds, and they're all made of basket loads of dirt. So at Cahokia, the largest of these flat-top mounds is called Monk's Mound, and it's 100 feet tall, and it's 15 acres at the base. So
Wow. For
your listeners who are familiar, they've been to a football game at Camp Randall, that would fill Camp Randall, and it's all made of dirt. We have three platform mounds, and actually we're working, there's a fourth one in the village of Trempealeau. So there's four platform mounds in Trempealeau. They're not nearly that size. They're much smaller, but they're bringing everything with them, even this idea of building their platform mounds.
Now, it sounds as though the locals in Trempealeau are getting involved. It's just not archaeology students and scientists. How are the residents of Trempealeau getting involved in all this?
Yeah, they absolutely are. So this project that I'm doing is sponsored by the Baldwin Wisconsin Ideas Endowment and also by the Morkridge Center for Public Service at UW-Madison. And, you know, it's essentially this idea of advancing the Wisconsin idea where, you know, the boundaries of the university are the boundaries of the state. It's how can we as members of UW-Madison and not just faculty and staff but students go out into communities across the state and across the country and the world for that matter and provide our expertise and help out the local, communities and engage them and work collaboratively. And so this project does just that. So we've got the excavations, and I've got 12 UW-Madison students with me now, and they're taking up my archaeology field methods course. And we also will have members of the public come and excavate with us. And that is just so much fun, not only for our students and the residents to get to know each other, but also just it really provides a sense of ownership for the local community to be able to uncover something that is 1,000 years old. It's been 1,000 years since anybody's touched that. That's really incredible sensation for us as archaeologists, but also for the members of the community. It's literally in their backyard. So that's sort of one way we're engaging them. And then the second way we'll engage them is through the rest of the next 2 years when I teach a curation methods course at Madison. And that's what do we do with everything once it's been excavated? How do we care for it? How do we manage it? How do we use it for interpretation?
And we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time. But Danielle, thank you so much for joining us. It's fascinating.
Thank you so much.
We've been speaking with Danielle Benden, Senior Academic Curator for the UW-Madison Department of Anthropology, talking about the ongoing Trempealeau Archaeology Project.